North and South by Elizabeth Gaskell. Edith, said Margaret gently. Edith. But as Margaret half suspected, Edith had fallen asleep. She lay curled up on the sofa in the back drawing room in Harley Street, looking very lovely in her white muslin and blue ribbons. Margaret was struck afresh by her cousin's beauty. They had grown up together from childhood, and all along Edith had been remarked upon by everyone for her prettiness. They had been talking about wedding dresses and wedding ceremonies and Captain Lennox and what he had told Edith about their future life at Corfu, where his regiment was stationed, and the difficulty of keeping a piano in good tune, a difficulty which Edith seemed to consider as one of the most formidable that could befall her in her married life, and what gowns she would want in the visit to Scotland, which would immediately succeed her marriage. But the whispered tone had latterly become more drowsy, and Margaret, after a pause of a few minutes, found, as she fancied, that in spite of the buzz in the next room, Edith had rolled herself up into a soft ball of muslin and ribbon and silken curls and gone off into a peaceful little after-dinner nap. Margaret had been on the point of telling her cousin of some of the plans and visions which she entertained to her future life in the country parsonage, where her father and mother lived, and where her bright holidays had always been passed, though for the last 10 years her Aunt Shaw's house had been considered as her home. But, in default of a listener, she had to brood over the change in her life silently. It was a happy brooding, although tinged with regret at being separated for an indefinite time from her gentle aunt and dear cousin. As she thought of the delight of filling the important post of only daughter in Helstone Parsonage, pieces of the conversation out of the next room came upon her ears. Her Aunt Shaw was talking to the 5 or 6 ladies who had been dining there and whose husbands were still in the dining room. These ladies and their husbands were invited to eat a farewell dinner in honour of Edith's approaching marriage. Mrs. Shaw had rather urged on the marriage, although it was below the expectations which many of Edith's acquaintances had formed for her, a young and pretty heiress. But Mrs. Shaw said that her only child should marry for love, and sighed emphatically, as if love had not been her motive for marrying the late general. Mrs. Shaw enjoyed the romance of the present engagement rather more than her daughter. Not but that Edith was very thoroughly and properly in love, still, she would certainly have preferred a good house in Belgravia to all the picturesqueness of the life which Captain Lennox described at Corfu. The very parts which made Margaret glow as she listened, Edith pretended to shiver and shudder at, partly for the pleasure she had in being coaxed out of her dislike by her fond lover, and partly because anything of a gypsy or makeshift life was really distasteful to her. Margaret overheard her aunt saying, "I have spared no expense in her trousseau. She has all the beautiful Indian shawls and scarves the general gave to me, but which I will never wear again. Edith! Edith!" Margaret stepped forward. "Edith is asleep, Aunt Shaw. Is it anything I can do?" "It was only to ask Edith if she would tell Newton to bring down her shawls. Perhaps you would go, Margaret, dear." Margaret went up into the old nursery at the very top of the house, where Newton was busy getting up some laces which were required for the wedding. While Newton went, not without a muttered grumbling, to undo the shawls which had already been exhibited 4 or 5 times that day, Margaret looked around upon the nursery. The first room in that house with which she had become familiar 9 years ago, when she was brought, all untamed, from the New Forest to share the home, the play, and the lessons of her cousin Edith. She remembered the dark, dim look of the London nursery, presided over by an austere and ceremonious nurse, who was terribly particular about clean hands and torn frocks. At home, before she came to live in Harley Street, her mother's dressing room had been her nursery, and as they kept early hours in the country parsonage, Margaret had always had her meals with her father and mother.